Hello, good afternoon. You're listening to a special Monday edition of Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org. My guest today is Gabriel Mann. This is a track from his latest release, Tug of War is the name of the album. Have a listen to this, and then we're going to do some live stuff, some talking, and some performance. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Trying to stay so drunk, waiting for somebody to leave open some door. But Tuesday came and went as quickly as expected. Didn't notice that I needed it to stay. And you know, sometimes I need to be neglected. Yeah, sometimes love looks good in gray. And I believe somewhere there's a vision in the dark, but I can't say unless there's someone there with a spark to keep me lighted up. We'll be right back.
And we're back on Is Good. My guest is Gabriel Mann. Gabriel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Start by correcting me.
Okay,
this is not your latest release.
So that is not my latest release. That is my release previous to the latest release. It's called Tug of War, which was also the name of a Paul McCartney album, which I discovered after the fact.
Oh, so that wasn't intentional?
No, it was not intentional. Clearly my musical education is lacking. And but there, I do have a latest release. It is right next to that one. There it is.
This is called, the self-titled one.
It's eponymous. That's right.
Now, I see you. I have you here today as a solo artist, but do you? Mm-hmm. I see other people on the back of this, and obviously there's other musicians in there. Do you?
I usually
play. Is there a Gabriel Mann band?
There is, pretty much. There's a band. There's a drummer and a bass player I play with all the time, and often with a guitar player as well. Adam Marcello is the drummer. Carson Cohen is the bass player. And Steve Major is the guitar player. Steve, you may know from, I don't know if you're a fan of Our Lady Peace, but he plays with them. And in fact, played with me first, and they stole him. And now he's back living in L.A., so I play with him when I can.
There's a lot of love trading and theft, you know, a la baseball in the music.
I have no problem with it. I'm very, very happy about it. You know, they're a great band, and it's all fine with me. Bastards.
Where are you from originally?
San Antonio, Texas.
And how long have you been in L.A.?
I've been in L.A. for like 10 years. I grew up in San Antonio. I was born and raised in San Antonio. And then I went to school in Philadelphia. And then I came here to do actually the USC film scoring program for 1 year after college. And I've been here since then. So that was like 1995. And it's now 2006. So I've been here.
So they keep telling me.
A long time.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Film scoring. And were you also writing songs? Were you doing this kind of music during that time period?
I wrote songs when I was a kid, and but you know, they were terrible songs, and they were mostly about space, and because I really liked the song Rocket Man, so I tried to write another Rocket Man. Didn't really work out very well, and then and I wrote some songs in college, but I didn't really start doing it in earnest until after I had done that film scoring program and worked out here for a couple of years. I started like working for TV composers after I was here. And during the second job I had doing that, which was for this guy, David Schwartz, who I work with now on other things. He's famous mostly for Northern Exposure, and now he's famous for Arrested Development. He did all the music for Arrested Development. Anyway, so while working for him, I started writing again in earnest, writing songs in earnest, and recorded that record, Careen, which is my first sort of album.
And you have three altogether?
I have four altogether. The fourth one, though, is sort of like a live in-studio EP. It has some new stuff, but it's not like a full record. And I'm working on my new record now.
How did film scoring or learning about film scoring affect the music that you started to write on your own?
Well, I think it's generally pretty dramatic music. I mean, like, it's sort of like the kind of music that I like is music that changes and is interesting and tells stories usually. And not, I mean, you know, interesting is a pretty loose term, I guess. But I think it's like the song you just heard, Light It Up, is a pretty like sort of full, I mean, there's like strings in it, there's like all kinds of stuff. So I am to some extent interested in like sort of lush production of music. At the same time, we'll play some stuff from my most recent record, and that is sort of the opposite. Or at least as far in the opposite direction as I was comfortable going. it's much less heavy duty production and sort of a little more stripped down trio kind of vibe. Because at the time, Steve, who plays guitar with me, was out of town. So
being unavailable, that changed.
Yeah,
the
it sort of made me focus more on being like a piano artist or whatever. And you know, I don't play guitar, so a lot of my music is very like sort of piano-y. I mean, for lack of a better term, I don't really know exactly how that changes things, but I don't know. I generally find that people that write music on the piano are the chord changes are a little more complex. It's usually not just like 1, 4, 5, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to dumb my music down because I think those songs are better.
It gets a little too heady and the audience a little maybe bit, can't yeah. relate to it as much.
Yeah, I mean, I try to make it work for the lyrics one way or the other, you know, whether it's simple or complicated. But anyway.
Are you ready to jump into a live song?
Sure.
Just describe for the audience real quick what we're looking at here. What did you bring in?
This is a, you know, I don't even know who made this instrument originally, but it's called a Wurlitzer, which you also may be familiar with the term Wurlitzer from like... jukeboxes. Wurlitzer made jukeboxes. I don't know if it's the same company that made this instrument, but it was made mostly in the 70s. I think they made it even into the very early 80s, but I could be wrong about that. Anyway, this one is one that I bought off of eBay very recently, and it's in particularly fantastic condition. And it's basically an electric piano. If you've ever heard of a Fender Rhodes, it's the same concept, but this sounds a little different. It has vibrato, which sounds like this. It's got like going on, and you can sort of get rid of the vibrato. There are Rhodes that have that too, but basically it's just like a slightly different technology on the inside, different kinds of things that it hits and whatever.
And did you choose the Wurlitzer over, you know,
I play
kind
with
of
this
piano?
All the time. This is like sort of my general live acts.
So the sound that you get from the Wurlitzer fits well with
yeah,
what you're
know,
looking for in
I'll
your music.
I'll tell you exactly what it does, and it took me a long time to figure it out. To figure out what to play with, because generally it's difficult to, as when you play the piano, to find an instrument that is going to... Well, I didn't want to play anything digital because it drives me crazy. I don't like how they feel. I don't like how they sound. I find them totally uninspirational. And so I was playing out with a Rhodes for a while, and a Rhodes is a great instrument. Also, I have one of those. But the Wurly can give you a little more attack when you need to attack. So the Rhodes, my Rhodes at least, tends to be pretty mellow sounding. So I found that all the songs that weren't supposed to be mellow were still coming out mellow. Mm-hmm. So this avoids that to some extent.
So what are you going to play first now?
This is called Overflow, and it's on my latest record.
All right. My guest is Gabriel Mann. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
There's a girl who wishes she might be a part of it, be a part. Come out of her shell tonight, at the start of it, at the heart. Takes a minute to herself, tries to think about something else, pulls her lipstick from the shelf, she paints a picture of what everyone tells her she looks like. Summer, she laughs with abandon until she's coming back around. She is reaching for something to keep her alive, smiles cause she knows that she cannot hide, and everywhere she goes she overflows. In the mirror in disguise, she sees the heart of her staring back at her, lifts the shadow from her eyes, she starts to believe it when everyone tells her she looks like summer. She laughs with abandon, and she needs one moment to show her passion, and she feels it coming back around. She is reaching for something to keep her alive. Smiles cause she knows that she cannot hide. And everywhere she goes, she overflows. She is tasting what it is to be strong. Finally stands and demands to belong. Everywhere she goes, she overflows. Everywhere she goes, she overflows. Everywhere that she goes, everywhere she goes. Yeah. She goes, she goes, she goes, hey.
Thank you, Gabriel, for coming in.
Thank you.
And for sharing that. I mean, wow. Where to start? Where to start? Let's talk about.
Take your water.
Yeah, go for it. Let's talk about inspiration for a bit. How do you, what happens inside of you when you go from thinking about what you're going to put on a sandwich to thinking about writing a song? You know, when you go, oh, this is something I need to write down. This is something I need to turn into lyrics. Does it usually come from, people that you meet or experiences that you had from your past?
Yeah, I mean, it's generally that. I mean, it's pretty, I'm like generally not very like political of an artist. I sort of write stuff that's that either happened to me or happened to somebody that I know pretty well, or not even necessarily somebody that I know pretty well. I mean, I just sort of like, I think that I mean, sometimes I also will find myself writing things that are not necessarily things that happen, but just sort of like feelings that you have in certain situations, you know. I'm a very sensitive guy. And but I know what you mean about the sort of going from the sandwich to like the piano and trying to figure out how to write what you're going to write about. But I will say also that that I generally come up with, I'll either come up with like a sort of chorus thing or a melodic thing in general, like some kind of, even if it's like a little, like, you know, just like the, like on that song, I think I was, well, I'm like all over the place. I think on that song, I actually did have an idea for what it was about.
But you're saying generally it sort of starts with sort of a tune in your head.
Yeah, like a little germ, exactly. Like a little germ of either musical and some kind of turn of phrase. I'm sort of interested in that a lot. I like how words sort of fit together and sound interesting in a particular way, or like can be interpreted in different ways. But I try also, like, I mean, I think I have to tell you, I think that lyrics are probably the most, I think it takes more thought to do the lyrics, obviously, than it does to do the music. The music to me comes very easily and always did. And I mean, since I was a kid, I would just sit down and improvise at the piano and I didn't really think about it too much. It just sort of was always there. And the lyrics I find to be a continual, challenge, and also you know, when I finish something that I like, I'm much more proud of that than just because the music, I feel like, happens easier for me than the lyrics do. And I think that, you know, the artists that I respect the most and that I love the most are people that marry great lyric with good music, you know?
Who are some of these people? I mean, I can tell just from listening to you here in the studio, there's definitely a Peter Gabriel influence. And then some other artists that come to the top of my head. Who are some of the people that really
inspired
you?
He's definitely one of them. I love Peter Gabriel, especially, you know, they're basically So and Us, I think, are just, you know, phenomenal records. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who would take exception to that. And, you know, they find those records to be pop bullshit. And you have to listen to Peter Gabriel's early records and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm like, you know, I like melodies and songs that are really, like, accessible, usually. So Peter Gabriel is definitely a guy that I love. And Elvis Costello is, like, a superhero of mine. And I can only dream to write songs with lyrics like his lyrics. He's fantastic. Also, you know, probably everybody says this, but Jeff Buckley I find to be inspirational. Not necessarily.
Yes, everybody says that.
Yeah, I know. It's really lame, but he really...
Well, at least he didn't say the Beatles.
Yeah, that's right. Although I love the Beatles.
of course.
Who else do I listen to all the time? You know, there's one great... There's probably more, but I happen to own a great Emmylou Harris record called Wrecking Ball, which was produced by her husband at the time. And I think, I don't know if they're still married, but her husband at the time was Daniel Lanois. And this record is, like, amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard it. But they're sort of like, I don't even know if they're original songs. They sound like sort of, they sound like songs that have been around forever. So some part of it makes me feel like a lot of them are like old folk songs or Americana songs. But it's produced in a way that is like, it's pretty dark. And fantastic.
You mentioned that you know, there is a kind of elitism in music listening. I know I have it, where it's like, you know, this artist is great, but this artist that everyone may love is crap for whatever reason. It, you know, it struck me the wrong way when I first heard it, and there's nothing they could ever do to make it right.
Yeah.
But as an artist, you do want to stay. You do want to kind of attract that elitist audience, because it's almost like you've made it, you know, past all the bullshit. Is there something that you think you do in your music that puts you in a different category, that protects you from falling into the standard pop MTV? You know, are you going to be? Do you see yourself singing the, you know, the theme song to American Idol next year? You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I do know what you mean. I mean, that's like a whole, to me, that's like a whole other world of pop. Like, I write pop music. There's no question. These songs are like, I mean, at least in my mind, they're pop songs. But that's like a whole, the American Idol thing, where you're talking about, like, even like Hillary Duff songs or whatever the girl's name is, who I can never remember, who was the huge American Idol person.
What's
her name? She has like 9,000 songs on the radio.
Kelly
Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Okay, so Kelly Clarkson, those kinds of songs are like, they're like a whole other category of song. And I don't, you know, at least in my own music, I don't, it doesn't sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it never would sound like that, I don't think. On the other hand, there are certain things I think that are attractive about that kind of music. And that may be a sacrilegious thing to say. I think there's a reason why people love them, but they've also become very like pat, you know, they pretty much all sound the same now. And it's very rare that you'll hear somebody who's in that sort of other kind of pop category, like the super uber pop, that does something unique. Although,
right,
you know who did it was, what's his name? Although this isn't really pop. The guy who used to be in NSYNC. What's his name?
Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake's previous record. I haven't heard his new record. Very excited.
No, but everyone was very impressed with that.
Yeah, I think that's a great record.
It wasn't what people were expecting.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, it's like a, you know, it like makes you move, and the lyrics are like either funny or clever or whatever. And he's got a great voice, and the tracks, they just sound incredible, you know. So I can like get into that. It's much more difficult for me to get into like Britney.
Or do you ever whatever. Go into a song, you start writing a song, and then you kind of catch yourself falling into the trap of doing something that you've heard or something that's been done, and you have to
I think
make sure that it has that unique quality?
I don't, because I have a really bad memory. So I don't, I never think that, I always think that everything that I write is like brand new and original. And then if there's a real, I would know if it was something really blatantly obvious. But I don't usually have a problem with that.
Well, not necessarily a tune itself, but a...
like a vibe.
Yeah,
of
just
like,
a vibe.
This
like,
is getting way
this
too
This isn't
pop.
Gabriel Mann. This is just another song, you know?
Well, I don't know if that happens so much. I definitely wind up tossing tons of songs. Like, I write, you know, I have these four records, but, you know, there's probably at least four more that I've thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
I actually recorded a record that I threw out.
The entire record.
But that wasn't necessarily because the songs were so bad. There was just, it was a difficult recording experience and I couldn't, and they came out sounding not like me, I guess. And that's also, I think maybe because I usually produce my own music. So all of these things I pretty much produced, myself. And so it was, that particular experience was one where I had somebody else. I wanted to give someone else control of it, and it didn't work out so great.
Well, I'd like to talk to you about the difference in recording music for an album and playing live. And I've been playing live a lot over the years, especially lately. I've been playing a lot live, it seems, just from looking at your page. Why don't we play another track from one of your CDs?
Should we stay old? Let's stay old.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Just play the next one. Play the second song.
All right.
On Tug of War, which is called In Deep.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around. This is Gabriel Mad at the wrong way. Harder to see when you're already gone. I've been, you've moved on. You say you're looking out for a new day. Harder to tell if you're in.